Okay, good evening all. Welcome to our Experience Shabbat Shir. This is our third to last one, only two more after this, so it's getting very exciting over here and down to the wire of the meaningful messages that we have to give over about Shabbos. So this week I wanted to speak about a topic that I called, Are There Boundaries on Shabbat? And what I mean by that essentially is the topic of Tchum Shabbos. There's a notion that there are limits to how far a Jewish person is allowed to travel on the day of Shabbos. And the question is, A, where does it come from? B, what is it all about? And C, is there a deeper meaning and message for us as we tend to find throughout many of the halachos of Shabbos that there is the black and white halacha and the deeper meaning behind it. Is that the case as well with Tchum Shabbos, something that seems so technical, but is there something more there? So the Pasuk tells us in Sefer Shemos that when the Jewish people were receiving the man, so it says, Re'u ki Hashem nasam lachem ha-Shabbos, akein hu nosein lachem bayom ha-shishi lechem yomayim, right? So we're told that since we're going to have this very holy special day of Shabbos, and God doesn't want us to do too much work, he wants us to gather in the mun on Shabbos. So on Friday, we got a double portion very famously, right? That's where Lechem Mishnah comes from. We have the double portion. And then Shvu ish tachtav al yete ish mimkomo bayom ha-shvi. The Pasuk says that a person should not leave from their place on Shabbos. Rashi there on the spot says, Elu alpayim amash el tchum Shabbos. This is actually the source for the halacha of tchum Shabbos. The notion that an individual Jew should not go more than 2,000 amos, we'll just say feet for the purposes of the shir, but an amma is probably more, maybe 2 feet. One amma is probably 2 feet, but we'll just call it feet for the easiness of the shir. So you can't go more than 2,000 feet outside of your place. What that means essentially is our rabbis tell us that wherever I am, if I'm in a house in the middle of the desert, or if I'm in a major city, then wherever the border of my living space is, I can't go more than 2,000 amos beyond that. So, therefore, if I live in the middle of the desert, that's the easier case to deal with. So it means I can't go more than 2,000 amos in an entire circle around the place that I'm living. 2,000 amos there, 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 and there. I can go 2,000 amos in any direction that I want. However, if we're in a city, so then it becomes a little bit different. We consider the city itself as if you are in one giant personal space, as it were, and therefore you are allowed to travel throughout the entire city, and you just simply cannot go more than 2,000 amos beyond your city limits. That would be the halacha for tchum in such a situation. So the first question is, we seem to have presented it, and it seems clear that this is a Torah commandment. Interesting, because we don't have many commandments when it comes to Shabbos that are in the Torah written explicitly, right? Of the malachos, we only have a couple of malachos that are actually written explicitly in the Torah, and our rabbis outline the rest of the 39 that we have that are not in the Torah. So it's interesting that this could be found in the Pasuk, but therefore we obviously do have a machlokas. Some people assume that this Pasuk is the source for Tchum Shabbos, whereas others disagree. Notably, so the Sefer HaChinuch also seemed to be a believer of the fact that Tchum Shabbos was a Torah commandment, and he says one additional step further. I'm going to read for you the English translation. The Sefer HaChinuch counts this as the 24th mitzvah in the Torah. He says, from the roots of this commandment are that we should remember and know that the world is created and not primordial, meaning not that the world was existing forever, but rather that God created the world. As it says regarding Shabbos, that for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Hence, to remember this thing, it is fitting that we rest in one place, meaning to say that we should not go to a faraway place, but rather only stroll and have delight from our walks. And the walking of up to, we'll see in a moment, a certain measurement is the limit of what is allowed by the Torah, and does not have much strain to it. So basically, the reason why we have this halacha of Tchum Shabbos is because it reminds us of the fact that God created the world in 6 days. The seventh day he rested. If you rested, so that means you could walk around. You have to get from point A to point B. You have to go from your house to shul, whatever it is. But you should not be overly exerting yourself because this is a day of rest. So you can walk a certain amount, but not too much. It's noteworthy to help us frame the discussion that even those who say that the notion, the halacha of Tchum Shabbos, is a Torah commandment, they differentiate between 2,000 amos and what they use, what they refer to as 12 mil. So 12 mil is the Torah distance that a person should not be traveling, and then 2,000 amos is sort of the rabbinic restriction on top of that. So even the people who say that it's a Torah commandment, even they seemingly agree that the 2,000 amos is rabbinic, and this 12 mil measurement, that's the Torah commandment. So who says that it's a Torah commandment, and who says that it's a rabbinic commandment? Well, there are big hitters, like the Rambam, like the Sefer HaChinuch, like the Smag, who all believe that it was a Torah commandment, that the 12 mil measurement is a Torah commandment, and the 2,000 amos is a rabbinic commandment. However, there are others, maybe even a longer list, like the Rambam, the Rush, the Rashba, and various other Rishonim, who all say that Tchum Shabbos in entirety is not a Torah commandment. What about the Pasuk that I read for you at the beginning? That Pasuk is talking about something else, something to do with Tchum, and so therefore, it's just a rabbinic commandment that the rabbis came up with. Interesting to note, this seems to be a debate between the Talmud Bavli, the Babylonian Talmud, and the Talmud Yerushalmi, the Yerushalayim Talmud, because the Bavli seems to say that this pasuk that we quoted at the beginning is what's referred to as an asmachta. It's a nice support in the fact that the Torah says such an interesting idea that you should not be leaving your space, but the Torah was not trying to give us a commandment. Rather, the rabbis gave us the commandment, and they said, oh, look, this pasuk in the Torah seems to be a nice support for it, but that the rabbis were the ones essentially to initiate it. However, the Talmud Yerushalmi, the Jerusalem Talmud, says no, that the 2,000 amos is rabbinic, but the 12 mil measurement that a person can't walk beyond their city limits, that is from the Torah. Where do you know this from? From the fact that we have a pasuk in the beginning. So the Bavli seems to say it's a rabbinic decree. The Yerushalmi says that it's like more of a Torah decree. So we likely, therefore, would paskin like the Bavli, that it's a rabbinic decree, it's a rabbinic mitzvah, not that it's any less important, but it's worthwhile to know that it is a most likely rabbinic from our halachic standpoint than a Torah commandment. Okay, with all of that said, let's try to understand a few more of the smaller details. For example, where do we get this 2,000 amos measurement from? It seems like such a random number. Why not 2,500 amos? Why not 10,000 amos? What is 2,000 amos? So the Gemara in Eruvin has this discussion and makes what we refer to as a Gzeirah Shavah. That's a textual analogy. If you have the same word in Pasuk A and Pasuk B, then we say they must have similar. They must be talking about similar things. And therefore the Gemara makes a lengthy Gzeirah Shavah, as we call it, and says that the one Pasuk is talking about 2,000 amos regarding something entirely different regarding the Ir Miklats, the cities of refuge, and therefore, since those are referring to 2,000 amos, so we also have 2,000 amos regarding the Tchum Shabbos. So ultimately, Tchum Shabbos is 2,000 amos because we connect it to another pasuk that talks about 2,000 amos. Very technical answer. Interestingly, though, there are those that say that this Gzeirah Shavah, this textual connection, is actually meant to teach us on a deeper level what Tchum Shabbos is all about. Rav Asher Meir, who has an interesting book called, I think, Meaning in Mitzvos. I don't think it's in print anymore, but he has a fascinating idea in which he says that Tchum Shabbos is similar to the notion of an Ir Miklat, the notion of a city of refuge. He says, I'll read for you words. He says, the passage in the Gemara suggests that our Shabbat location can be likened to a city of refuge. While an intentional murderer can be sentenced to capital punishment, unintentional manslaughter is not punished by the Jewish courts. However, the relative of the slaughtered person, the blood avenger, is permitted to pursue the killer. In order to prevent bloodshed, the Torah then provides for special cities of refuge where such killers are protected from reprisal, right? So this is the law of Ir Miklat, that if you accidentally killed someone, then his family member can come kill you if he wants, but if you get to the Ir Miklat first, then he can't kill you. It's an interesting halacha that's not part of our discussion right now, but that's what the halacha is. So he says further, like the unintentional killer, most of the worries that stalk us are of our own making, the results of our own careless actions. Even so, the Torah provides provides us a refuge in the form of the Shabbat. Ultimately, the killer is released from his time of exile, and the avenger may no longer pursue him. After Shabbat, we start our week anew with an inner peace that protects us from the weekday worries that seem so daunting on Friday afternoon, right? I think it's Heschel who referred to Shabbos as a sanctuary in time. And that's really what it is, that just like an Ir Miklat is meant to be a city of refuge, so too is Shabbos and furthermore, Tchum Shabbos meant to help us realize that this day is a sanctuary of sorts that is meant to give us strength, that is meant to empower us, that is meant to save us from the rest of the difficulties and the noise and everything going on throughout the rest of the week. He also says one step further, that not only is Shabbos like the city of refuge, but what was the city of refuge? Who lived there? It was a city of Levium. And he therefore says, that I'll read for you again what he writes. He says, as we just explained, the Talmud goes on to learn this Gzeir Shava. The Jews in the desert did not need to do any work. They were fed by the miraculous man, which fell each morning on the ground, and which they needed only to gather. However, this was not considered an ideal existence. On the contrary, the sojourn in the desert was only preparation for entering the land of Israel, where each household would inherit a plot of land, and eke out a living through natural means, thus giving us the opportunity to sanctify mundane work. However, one tribe was an exception to this rule. The tribe of Levi did not receive an inheritance of fields in the land of Israel. The Levites are a tribe set aside to serve God. They serve in the temple and are expected to learn and teach Torah. In order to provide for their sustenance, God commanded them that they receive a part of the tithing. And he says further that the Levim lived in the land in the cities of refuge. And therefore we see that just like the Levium lived in the cities of refuge, so too do we have the opportunity to live in this city of refuge, to be like the Levium, to be like the Levites, one day a week. What's that day a week? That's Shabbos. The Levium get to learn Torah, teach Torah, and serve as a guiding group of individuals for the Jewish nation every day of the week. We get to be like Levium one day a week. We have Shabbos in which we are more spiritually connected. We're learning Torah, we're teaching Torah perhaps, we're going to Shiurim, whatever it is. That's what Shabbos is all about. It's again this kind of sanctuary in time, and it's a change in mentality, and almost like a change in persona of what we are trying to do in this world. So, that's what Tchum is in a nutshell. What are the applications of this law for us nowadays? You say, well, I don't understand. So if I can't go more than 2,000 amos beyond the city limits, so in Merrick, so okay, and I can walk throughout the entirety of Merrick. Merrick is pretty big. Well, I guess not so big, but Merrick is a pretty nice size. Most people are not leaving the boundaries of Merrick. But I can even go to the next city because they connect each other. They're like back to back, so you're not even going outside of the city limit. So really, this doesn't apply to us so much nowadays. So first of all, it does apply to us. I remember I like to tell the story that there was one Shabbos that I spent in the woods of Maine. There was an Orthodox family that used to live there. Now they've made Aliyah. But it was a Frum family from Baltimore who built a house in the woods of Maine. So they had this Tchum Shabbos set up for themselves. They had what's called an Erev Tchumen, not for our conversation right now. And what's fascinating is that they could not walk more than 2,000 amos from their house unless they had an Erev, which then allowed them to walk an additional 2,000 amos beyond that. So it does apply to people who are not really within so much in the city limits that we have nowadays. However, there is one additional area that comes into consideration, and that is when it comes to receiving packages, when it comes to receiving mail. There's different types of people in the world that on Shabbos, they need to grab the packages in right away. They need to grab the mail in right away. And there are others who say, wait a second, I'm not so sure this is such a Shabbos dick thing to do, to bring in my Amazon packages. So what is that all about? So it's all about Tchum Shabbos. Not entirely. We'll see that there is an additional element to it as well. But it's all about, where did the mail come from? Maybe it came from an Amazon center in Saskatchewan. So if it came from Saskatchewan, that means it's outside of my tchum, and am I allowed to benefit from something that came from outside of my tchum on Shabbos? So the Gemara in Beitza tells us, Amar Rav Papa, Hilchasa Goy Shehivi Doron Li Yisrael B'Yom Tov. Let's say you have a non-Jewish person who brings a present, who brings a piece of mail, a package, whatever it is, to a non-Jewish, to a non-Jew brings it to a Jew on Yontif. Im Yesh Me'oso Hamin B'Mechubar, usser. So if there is a there are other fruits, there are other things like this that are still connected to the trees, then we have to assume that it's going to be prohibited. Meaning he brings a basket of pears and he sees that there are pears all over the place on trees. So you have to say that this is prohibited because he must have picked these pears on Yontif, and that would make it prohibited for the Jew. V'la'erev nami asurin b'chdei she'asu. And there, and it's even going to be prohibited after Yontif, until the time passes that he could have picked them after Yontif. Okay, that's not really part of our discussion. But then it says the Gemara, v'im a little bit. Oh yeah, v'im ein me'oso ha'min ha'bemechubar tocha tchum mutter. So if they come from within the tchum, then they're going to be permissible to partake of. But chutz la tchum, but if they come from outside of the tchum, then they're going to be prohibited to make use of, because a Jew should not be making use of things that come from outside of the tchum. This halacha seems to come up in the Shulchan Aruch, but we'll see that it is slightly the source of a dispute. The Shulchan Aruch tells us that likros bi'igeres hashaluach lo, if someone to read a letter that they received on Shabbos, we're not talking about opening envelopes, that's a whole different discussion. But let's say, I guess back in the day they didn't have envelopes as much or whatever, or telegrams, I don't know. So someone sends a letter, it's no issue to open it up on Shabbos, so you unfold it. So can you read the letter on Shabbos? So he says, "Im eino yadua maksiv ba mutter." If you don't know what's written in it, you could read it. So this goes into the conversation of what you're allowed to read on Shabbos. Also, not really part of our conversation. But then he says at the end, "Vim huva bishvilo michutz latchum." If it was brought from outside of the tchum, tov lizaher shelo yigaba. It's good for the person to be careful not to touch it. It's not prohibited. It's just a good idea to be careful not to touch it. The Mishnah Berurah says, "What do you mean? It's a good idea not to be careful to be careful not to touch it? Is it permissible or is it not permissible?" So says the Mishnah Berurah, "V'achronim hiskimu de'ein b'zeh mishum muktzah klal." So everyone agrees that there's no prohibition of muktzah, but rather the question is, is there any prohibition? So basically what it comes down to is that it seems to be a dispute between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. Many of the Ashkenazim, Rav Moshe in particular, says that it's totally prohibited to make use of, to touch a letter on Shabbos, to bring in the mail on Shabbos. What a terrible thing to do, because it came from outside the tchum, maybe it's not a Shabbos stick. It's not, and even if it came within the tchum, well, really, is it really appropriate for me to be touching things that I didn't set aside for Shabbos? So the Ashkenazim say no dice. You should not be touching your mail on Shabbos. Oh, you say, well, let's say I get an important package. So you tell the delivery guy, you know, open the door for him, please put it inside my vestibule or whatever, and shut the door. But you should not be touching on Shabbos. The Sfardim seem to be a little bit more lenient. The Kaf HaChaim in particular says that we don't have such a custom, evidently, in the Sephardic world, to not touch your mail. You could touch your mail on Shabbos. Maybe you shouldn't open it, maybe you shouldn't read it, but certainly you can touch your mail on Shabbos, and even to read it, as long as there's no issues opening the envelopes, that would be okay as well. Okay, with all of that said, that was a lot of technical halachic things over here. I want to close with two additional, I think, very meaningful pieces as it pertains to Tzichum Shabbos. There's a well-known Gemara in Chagiga that the Rebbe Meir was walking with his former Rebbe, or what he considered to be still his current Rebbe, Elisha ben Avuya, who we call Acher. And so it's well known that Rebbe Meir's Rebbe Acher was totally off the derech, that he no longer was within the fold. And the way the story goes is that they were walking on Shabbos. Rebbe Meir was walking next to, alongside, Acher, who was riding on a horse. And they get to the point of a Tchum Shabbos, and they get to the point where where Rebbe Meir of Torah observant Jew is not allowed to go any further. So Acher stops Rebbe Meir and he says, "Rebbe Meir, don't go past this point, because you're going to go outside the Tchum. You're going to violate a prohibition in your own mind." Rebbe Meir says, "Okay, but please, Rebbe, come back with me also. Don't go across the Tchum either. Stay with me. Keep Shabbos a little bit, you know?" And so Acher says, "No, I can't do that. I'm too far gone. But you make sure that you keep the Shabbos, you keep the Tchum." It's interesting to see that this is what they were arguing about. It's not like they had a conversation of, don't eat treif, or, you know, don't cook on Shabbos, don't make a fire on Shabbos. It was about Tchum Shabbos, which shows us here the significance of such a conversation and of such a topic, of such a mitzvah, and perhaps therefore this mitzvah, without us really realizing it, is kind of meant to differentiate between those who are connected to the Jewish community, those who feel a part of the rest of the Jewish people, and those who don't. Rebbe Meir obviously was very connected to the Jewish people, so he would not dare break the tchum. Acher, who totally removed himself from the Jewish community and from the rest of the Jewish nation, so he had no issue breaking the Tchum. Perhaps that's a deeper meaning. Says the Panini Halacha, Rabbi Eliezer Melamed, he says that the need to travel from place to place stems from man's deficiency. He cannot find his livelihood and meet his needs by remaining stationary. So he must roam and leave his place. But the idea of Shabbat is for every Jew to rest from his travails and worries, contemplate the inner perfection of creation, thank God for choosing Israel from all peoples and giving us his Torah, and delight in God and his goodness. So Shabbos is not meant to be a time to be running around, but rather it's the time to stay stationary and sort of be more contemplative and be more mindful of what's going on. And one more final beautiful idea that I heard just this afternoon, quoted in the name of the Nachlas Ben Yamin, more of a mystical word. And he says as follows: what is the source of the 2,000 Amos? Where does this notion of 2,000 come from? And so he says amazingly as follows: how is it that we are to determine this number? Well, let's break it down for a second. There's an interesting halacha that if a person goes outside of the Tchum, once you leave that 2,000 Amma range, you take one step out, and so what happens? You can't go back in. If you leave the Tchum on Shabbos, you can't go back in. What are you allowed to do? You could only go in the 4 Amma, the 4 foot, whatever it is, radius around you. Where does that number of four Amos come from? Well, there's an understanding that the average person is approximately 3 Amos, right? So if you assume that 1 Amma is like 1.5 to 2 feet, the average person is somewhere between 5 and 6 feet. So that's how tall we are. Plus, everyone needs some room to spread out their arms and spread out their legs. So a 4 Amma radius is exactly what I need, because that's how much room I need to spread out and lay down or whatever it is. So I could take a nap on Shabbos in that little spot of land, but I can't go beyond that 4 Amma distance. Says the Nachlas Ben Yamin, you know who was not the size of 3 Amos and needed a 4 Amma area to spread out? Adam HaRishon. How big was Adam HaRishon? Well, he says you have to differentiate between what he was like before the Chait and seemingly after the Chait. He brings down a few sources that link him to the fact to prove that Adam HaRishon was 1,500 Amos tall. And if you're 1,500 Amos tall, that means that you need a lot more room to spread out. How much room in particular? An additional 500 Amos. So essentially he says that while we only need 4 Amos to be spreading our legs and whatever, the Adam HaRishon needed 2,000 Amos to spread his legs and to relax a little bit. And therefore he says, he makes the connection that this is exactly what Tchum Shabbos is all about. Connecting ourselves back to the first edition of what Adam HaRishon originally looked like, that he was this massive person when he was living in the garden, when he was in Gan Eden. And actually, that's what Shabbos is all about. Me'ein Olam Haba. Shabbos is all about this return to this delightful place, to this Gan Eden, to this world to come, to what could be. It's a taste of that. And so it's a taste of what Adam HaRishon's life was like in the garden. So we, therefore, have to remind ourselves that we are not just regular human beings, but on Shabbos, but we're this Me'ein Olam Haba version. We're this pre-Chait version. We're this original Adam HaRishon version. He had 2,000 Amos to move around, so we also get 2,000 Amos to move around. True, we're not as tall as he was. We're not 1,500 Amos tall, but we get that same space to help us think and get into that mindset that we are that same size that Adam HaRishon was back when he was living in Gan Eden. Ultimately, I think Tchum Shabbos is meant to be a tool to help us realize that Shabbos should be imbued, that Tchum Shabbos should be a tool that we use to imbue within us the notion of stopping ourselves from looking outward, stopping ourselves from moving around and being so busy, but rather that it's the opportunity to sit, take a rest, to not look outward, but rather to look inward. Many people look for distractions from life, things to keep their minds busy, and are sometimes even afraid of facing themselves. Shabbos tells us that you have to stay in your place. You have to use this 25-hour period to connect with yourself, to connect with your Creator, to connect with your family. And I note that one of my Rabbeim, Rav Simon Shlita, NYU, he used to say that people have it all wrong, that Shabbos, everyone's inviting guests, and Yontif, no one invites guests because their families are there, so they're eating just with their family. And so he says that's actually not what it should be. Shabbos is meant to be a day that you're only with your family. That's why you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos, because you shouldn't be bringing like food to other people's homes to be eating. And Yontif, you're actually supposed to be eating with other people because of the fact that you are allowed to carry, so you should be having your potluck meals or whatever it is. So while this is true, certainly we're not disagree with my Rebbe, perhaps we can explain that the reason that this custom developed as it is today, that Shabbos is clearly a day of hosting guests and the like, maybe it's because we have come to realize as a people that Shabbos is a day of community. How do we realize what made us think that Shabbos is a day of community? Because Shabbos is a day in which we are all grouped together in this one city, in this one area, such that we can't even go further together collectively beyond the 2,000 Amma city limit. We have to stay here together. We are stuck, as it were, being here together. So Shabbos and Tchum teach us the value of community. And lastly, as we said just before, Shabbos is about dreaming. Shabbos is about what could be. Shabbos is about helping us get into the mindset of being Me'ein Olam Haba, that we could reach the level of what life was like, what the world was like pre-Chit. Let us be inspired by this mitzvah of Tchum Shabbos, a mitzvah that we probably have never really thought about too much before, that we don't need to be moving around all the time, that we can actually try to sit still on Shabbos and try to take in the moment with ourselves, with our Creator, and with our families. Wish everyone a beautiful evening and a wonderful Shabbos.